It really takes a good heart connection for me to respond. And I'm telling you, something about that song is just amazing. Spirit leading me, taking me deeper, holding me in your embrace. It's the same Spirit we prayed into this morning. It's the same guidance. It's the same sweet embrace that we are one with our breath. We are one with, the trees. We are one with each other. We are one. So we are not reaching out to grasp Spirit. Spirit is embracing us, and we embrace Spirit. It is a beautiful dance of oneness. It has to be oneness. And if it's not oneness, then it's only duality in our minds. We have separated ourselves from that embrace, from going deeper into exploring and truly knowing who we are. So just keep that as part of the entire process today. Knowing that Spirit leads us. Knowing that we are intuitively guided by Spirit, by our higher selves, and by the faith and trust we place in this Spirit who resides within us. Okay. Wonderful. So today we are talking about Wayne Dyer and his book. Most of you know that Wayne Dyer is my guy. Besides Ernest Holmes, he's the number one. But Wayne Dyer is the number two. And I'm saying is, although we are aware that he has passed on earlier in the year, he is absolutely present. It's the oneness again. I truly believe, and our philosophy believes, that life never dies. And so if life never dies, it's a perpetual, ongoing relationship with who we knew, who knew us, and who don't even know us. It is just that oneness of communication. And so I never knew Wayne, as I was telling Grace today. She said, have you met him? I said, no. She thought I had many, many coaching classes with him. But I knew him through his books. And he has impacted my life. From the first book, Your Erroneous Zones, to now I'm reading the 10 Secrets of Success, or For Success and Inner Peace. And he's such a wise person. He's such a wise teacher, and he continues to teach. So the 10 Secrets, and I don't know, I didn't get an email that came back to me. But did you all get an email? Because I didn't get it. So I have to make sure that my name is there. You know? Okay, all right, so I don't know why it didn't show up in my system, but I'm going to look again. Maybe I overlooked it. Oh, good point, Connie. The brilliance of Spirit. Okay, so I sent out the 10 secrets, which obviously today we know there are no secrets, all right, because if we are privy to all that is, then really nothing is hidden, right? But we are living in a world that definitely dominates us with lots of different conditions and circumstances. And it is extremely dense. So if we are vulnerable, if we are open to feeling the attachment of the world, then we kind of get dense with it. We kind of get pushed down. However, that is not our rightful place, as we all know, right? And so our rightful place is energy and strength and explosion of Spirit and wanting to be higher and higher and wanting to know more and to increase in depth, you know. Spirit takes me deeper. And so when Spirit takes me deeper, although it seems as I'm going down, I'm not going down, I'm going in. And I'm opening to spirit. And by opening, we are lifted. And we are lifted with a lighter, more freer, more freedom energy to be who and what we are. So the first one, the first secret is have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. So with this talk today, obviously I cannot cover all of the 10 secrets in depth, so may just have to pass over just a few bits, you know, of info here and there. But with the attachment, I just want to read from some downloaded information that I picked up from his book, and thank God I did, because I forgot my book at home, and so I still have his book here. All right. So the first one is have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. And having an open mind means that you open yourself to the potential and the possibility that anything and everything is possible, even that which you consider to be impossible. So we are born with infinite possibilities, yet so many of our choices remain unexplored because of our conditioning to stay safe and to stay with what we know. So it sounds easy to say, have an open mind. But when you think about all the conditioning that we've had in our lives, and the many choices that we were influenced with, and the many beliefs that we and our parentage and our culture, probably our ethnicities, maybe the color of our skin, these are all different aspects of conditioning that sort of help to make it really evident that, hey, how could I not be attached? And that's a good point. However, when you have a mind that is open, you really open yourself completely, all right? So you open yourself even to the point of view of other people's points of view, all right? So yes, we have different cultures, races, ethnicities. We have different conditioning in our homes. We were brought up with different beliefs. Our parents say, do this, do that, don't do that. And so we grew up with that, all right? And so that's what we call our race consciousness. And the key is to be in an open state of mind where we can start to detach ourselves from that race consciousness. So being open-minded means that you are open to all of it. Big A, big L, big L. You are open to all of what is in our environment, what is in our situation, and even to the conditions that we have faced in life. Especially to those ideas you would previously have blown off as being considered crazy. All right. So it is a mature way of thinking, yet it's not only mature, you are embracing other people's ideas, although you're not embodying it, but that's a way to accept it and to go with the flow, let go what you have to let go, hold on to what you have to hold on, hold on to what feels good. All right. So being attached means to believe that if I can't do this, or that I will become, if I can't do something, I'll be immobilized. So this is our everyday, you know, non-connected thinking. Oh my God, I have to take a risk here. What do I do? Oh my goodness. You know, the bank called me. What do I do? So we attach to everyday thinking. And so because of that, we are in an immobile state. But life is not about immobility, right? Life is about always moving. Spirit always moves. Spirit has to move. There is no time when we are stagnant or when we are stuck. Do you believe that? We can never be stuck. Seriously. I sit at home and I'm like, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? There are no options here. I'm stuck and I don't know how to get out of it. Please pray for me. Do this, do that. But are we truly stuck? No. Something is happening. Life goes on. Life goes on. Even if I am stuck, remember we are all in the oneness. Guess what? Everybody else is moving. Everybody else have a thought process. Everybody else is doing something. And I am in that swirl of energy. I don't know it because I'm in my own dense self at this point in time and not able to recognize my true worth, my true goodness, and that the knowing that it's all well. It has to be well. It's spirit. Spirit knows nothing else but the freedom and the peace and the health and the wholeness. Spirit knows only that. Everything else is what we picture in within our own hearts as being opposed to spirit. So keep that in mind. And so the best example of attachment is usually comes in relationships. If you are in a relationship with your other half or a special person, then all you have is two halves of a person, right? However, being detached means that you are whole and happy with and by yourself, and that you don't need anyone else to make you happy. All right? This is why most people's relationships don't work, because they are relying on someone else to make them happy. Stop it. Stop it. Cut it out. Be attached. Love will be love will be love. You will always find love. Love finds you, actually. All right? So even if a relationship does not work, does that mean that love has separated itself from you? It does not. All right? So be detached, but be in love. Be your own self. Be within that relationship. Be you. Be happy. Because being happy is an expression of spirit. Being in love is an expression of spirit. Being sad is also an expression of spirit, but it is not the gift of spirit. It is the actual denser form of the human nature that has caused us to be in that form. But this is where spirit continues to revolve. Because do we always stay sad? No. Because behind the sadness, there is always that bright sky. Strange enough. Behind the depression, there is always a blue sky. There is always a light. And did that light come because we decided that it's time for the light? No. The light was always there. The blue sky was always there. And we refused to see it, or our situations, our circumstances, our conditions hid the light from us, or we allowed the conditions to hide that light. But guess what? We never stay down. We cannot stay down. Life can never stay down. It cannot be stagnant. And so over a period of time, we are like, okay, gotta get up, gotta get out of bed, gotta do this, gotta make myself happy. Because that's when I'm my truest expression of spirit. And that is detachment. All right? So your attachment are the sources of all your problems. So if you realize that, okay, I have this problem and I'm sad, what am I identifying with? Am I identifying my problems as myself? And this is where we make that detachment. I have problems. I am sad. But this is not who I am. And just the fact that you can even think those words is already telling you there is hope and there is life. All right? So be attached. Have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. You get that? I get it. I really get it. Seriously. The second one is don't die with your music still in you. All right? And I am I like this because it just talks about the fact that you are the essence of who you are. All right, you are a part of a universal intelligent system. You are a life force that orchestrates everything in this universe. So you showed up here in the body that you have right now, and you will leave at the exact right time in the body that you have right now, okay? So this intelligent system works in perfect harmony, and there are no accidents. I truly believe it. I truly believe that there are no mistakes in life. And because how could there be mistakes? If there are mistakes, where is the harmony that we perceive or we think there is? Could there be mistakes in harmony? I don't think so. Harmony is a flow, an easy flow. Now, if you want to put harmony as like effects and consequences and, you actually do stuff and you have the consequences of it. That too is harmony, believe me. You know, you do an action, expect either a reaction or a consequence of your action. And if you look at that equation, the equation could go in any direction, all right? You could fit any of the pieces anywhere and you get almost the same answer. And that is harmony. And sometimes that is what life presents. Life presents chaos as we interpret it as. So we deal with chaos. Chaos is the action. And we have something that caused the chaos. And because of those two, then we have a consequence of it. So how are we going to see harmony as the good that it is? And this is where it's very painful to say there are no mistakes, because we see and hear and feel mistakes and accidents happening everywhere around us. But my interpretation of it is, if we see the unfolding of our lives, even in a chaotic situation, this is where detachment comes in. All right? So we are going through the chaos. Easy for me to say, but easy for me to also talk about it, because I know what chaos is in my own life. All right? But if we go through chaos, be aware that if we hold on to chaos, we produce more chaos. But if we release the chaos, knowing it is there, and we assume our rightful place in the universe as strength, as peace, as love, as fulfillment, as dream builder, as whatever it is, then we can make a determination, okay, it's chaos, but this is who I am, and this is the outcome I want. This is where I want to be. How am I going to swirl this chaos to make it work for me? And that, to me, is harmony as well. All right? So harmony may not always be, and, namaste. It could also mean that we have our lives in intricate, interconnected ways, but with detachment, knowing that it is all good, it is all well, the end result must always be that perfect answer. As I was sharing with Grace in the car, I said, looking back, 2020, perfect vision. But then have I died from all the stuff that happened in my life? No, I did not. And then I look back and I'm like, wow, how could that have happened? I could not even have thought myself into a situation like that to even bring me to this point today, And so I am grateful for chaos in my life. I am not wanting to attract it. And I am glad for ways that I know how to deal with chaos. But when chaos comes, it's also a point to say, okay, what do I need to let go? Where do I need to go? And what is in partnership with me to allow this to happen? And just remember, you are who you are. You're a spirit expressing. All right. So the third secret is you can't give away what you don't have. All right. So as ridiculous as it may sound, we simply cannot give away what we don't have. You know, this is quite easy to understand when it comes to something very physical. But as soon as we think of something intangible, we tend to see right past that principle. So if what we have inside is anger, fear, resentment, etc., then these will all be the things we have to give away. Mm-hmm. Did we think of, I did not even think about it that way. Mm-hmm. When I saw we can give away what we don't have, I immediately started thinking, I have to be a full and, you know, ready cup and overflowing, so I give from my overflow. Mm-hmm. But truly, we really give from our overflow anyhow. Overflow of what? Or is it overflow of exuberance and joy? Is it overflow of hard work? Is it overflow of low energy? Is it overflow of what? You know? So what are you giving? So you can't give away what you don't have. So regardless of what we are always given, it's a constant mobile universe. And so we have to be careful with what we give. All right? At the same time, because of our expressions of spirit and the intuitive guidance that we always are, we have to be careful with what we receive as well. Okay? We spoke earlier in the first one where, you know, we are a universe that we are conditioned with tons of stuff. Oh my goodness, Orlando. You know, and we just get sucked into a lot of all the really macabre things that are going on. And we should be in solidarity. We should be able to understand that people shouldn't be in a situation where you're given hate and crimes and, you know, all this stuff. But guess what? They're given from where they are. They're given from a source of hatred. They're given from a source of not understanding that life is expansive and that life creates life. They're given from a source of death. Death cannot bring anything else but death. Life can only embrace life, and this is what we know. We know spirit to be life. We know spirit to be eternal. We know death to be shortened and, you know, and just that aspect of denseness in our life that creates grief and loss and all this stuff. And we must go through it, obviously. We must all die one day. But what are we accepting in our lives that is going to push us further? What are we willing to give away? And I'm saying willing because every conversation must have an impact, whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not. Okay? So what are you willing to give away just being here? I was telling Grace about Connie. I said, I just soaked in her presence in the year 2000. I just loved Connie. And there was something about her that even she didn't speak to me or anything like that, she had a presence. So she was filled and was given away from her overflow. And I really, really appreciated that. So keep that in mind, okay? So just know that we live in an absolute universe, and it's a law of attraction that says we get back from the universe what we put out there. So if what you put out is, I'm not worthy of attracting what I want into my life, then the universe will respond with exactly the same message. You are not worthy, right? Songs kind of lame right now, but it is really the truth. What we have, what our expectations are, what we put out there, and we wait for that expectation to come back to us, to renew and to fulfill us. All right? So when we put out "I'm not worthy," which nobody wants to put out, but we put it out in our thought processes, you know. We put it out in how we even treat people. We put it out in our everyday expectations of our own selves. All right? So that's one of the things that I learned so early in my life from my mentor, Wayne Dyer, where he promised me that if I stand up and be strong in my own self, if I don't wear my emotions on my sleeves, if I am not vulnerable to other people's actions and reactions, but can stand strong in my own self and be confident. And he showed me ways of how to be confident. That's how I can stand up and say that I am unwilling to put out, I am unworthy out there, because I am going to absolutely attract the most unworthy things in my life as well. Wow. All right? It's not only people you would attract, situations, and you would attract the people that is going to say, yes, you are unworthy. And here is how I feel that I am unworthy too. All right? So be aware that these are the things that we attract. But if we say, hey, I am loving and I am available and I am in a state of awareness where I just feel so lucky, or I just feel that, you know, the world is on my side, however you want to put it, you know, just know that something happens in the universe, that something happens around you, people come doing things, people present certain situations, or you just have an awareness in your presence that, oh my goodness, this feels so enriching, you know? So keep that in mind, all right? So that is, you won't be able to give anything away unless you have it within you. It's also about finding your purpose, because somewhere in the book, which I underlined and I am not seeing it here, somewhere in finding your purpose, he talked about that you have to be able to, so let's just read it. So how do you find your purpose? It is not so much something you find as it is something that you connect to, and you do this by being of service. How can you give away to others that love and burning passion that's deep inside you, regardless of what it is? Discovering your purpose is a process, and you will continue to seek it throughout different stages of your life. The more you pursue your own goals and self-interest, the more your purpose will elude you. The more you seek ways to contribute and make a difference, the more your purpose will be connected to you. Always remember that your purpose is about giving and not about getting. So remember to shift your energy in that sense, to incorporate who you truly are. And you don't have to go out and be, you know, Mother Teresa or anything like that. But just remember that your purpose, it should be the excitement in your life that you can't help but give it as an overflow. And there's a part in the book that he talked about where he said, this purpose will definitely be what pays you. And this is financial payment. It is so powerful that people would like to repay you for it. And this is in money. So that's a big deal. All right. Another thing is, secret number four is embrace silence. And with embracing silence is, in, you know, knowing who you are and going deep within spirit, what Lorian read about, okay? Being able to embrace silence is being able to make a difference in your life, is being able to differentiate that breath we breathe in that renews us is the same breath that creates the atmosphere of silence. And being in silence is being able to remove all the attachment, all the labels, all the stigma of the world, all the conditioning that we are going through, and to say, to say, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, hold me in your embrace. Spirit, take me deeper. It is 12:05, so I'm going to stop. But just know that I would love to continue this again if we have an opening somewhere, to continue the other secrets, 4 to 10, if I could do that. But thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lorianne. That is the perfect song to open our communication and our talk process today. And just remember, by going in silence is where your renewal comes from. Okay? Going in silence removes us, lifts us from the denseness of the world's condition, and reminds us that I am not that. I am more. I am more of who I know God to be. I am more of who I know Spirit expressing as Gail, as each one of us. I am that. And so it is. Namaste.